Welcome to Confessions of Leaders, a podcast to empower your team with inspiration from business leaders. I am Chloé Caron. I'm a writer, executive coach, and founder of O2 Coaching. Today, my guest is Mélanie Bernier, Senior Vice President and Chief Legal Officer at PSP. She joins me to share how she has developed a culture of growth in her team, including creating a safe space for giving and receiving feedback. Mélanie has been with PSP Investment for over 13 years. The organization has become one of Canada's largest pension investment managers. She leads their legal, compliance, and tax departments and is a graduate of Laval University Law School. PSP is based out of Montreal with offices in New York, London, and Hong Kong. Mélanie is a member of the executive team uniquely positioned to have a company-wide impact. And as a coach, I wanted to show how Mélanie focused her intention and attention to create a culture of growth in her team. Here's my conversation with Mélanie Bernier, a leader focused on bringing the best out of her team. Welcome to this, Mike. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Chloé. It's nice to talk to you.
Actually, this is a conversation that we were supposed to have, I think, on April 22nd, where we launched the movement Empower Your Team, and you really wanted to be there for different reasons you couldn't. And then we said, why don't we take this opportunity, have this conversation, because I think your message is a really important one for various reasons, because leaders are overwhelmed these days. I'm sure you see this at PSP and around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And we need to do something, and especially with those communities, if you will, of experts. Lawyers are those experts, accountants, finance people, where we feel like we have to be the experts and we feel like we have the pressure of having all the answers. You said, with your group of experts, you said, I want to do something different with my team. What did you do?
First of all, it all started because we started asking the employees about their feedback, right? And what people wanted. And if there were any things that we needed to work on in our team. And so you take that feedback and you combine it with your vision of the team or you what you want to accomplish and what's important to you as a leader of the team. And then you kind of put those two things together that was my approach in my mind. And then focusing on, for us, it was growth, right? So growth, development opportunities, and how that can have a big impact on the team. And the fact that we don't always take the time to focus on this because, as you say, we're all, you know, experts in the field. There's heavy workload. We're busy. And this is not our natural inclination. So we tend to do it yearly when HR says that we have to complete the exercise and it's not done in the most optimal way possible. And so for us, it was kind of really looking at where things mattered to the people in the team and what we could do about it and what should be our focus. So instead of focusing on many different things, this is the one thing that we chose.
And through that, I think your message to the team was you wanted to create a culture of caring, if you will. Like, we hear you and we care and we want to show you that we have your back.
So for me, when I took the leadership of the team, so I had been in the organization for many years, I think 11 years at the time, maybe 10 years. And when I took on the leadership of the team, first of all, I was based in Europe, so I wasn't physically with the team. And so I being away from the team also made me have being able to take that step back to reflect on what kind of leader I wanted to be, what was important to me. And, you know, if my style and my approach was scalable because I was managing a much smaller team and now, you know, I was moving on to a much bigger team. And I've always been more relationship driven. And I care about the people around me and my colleagues. And so, you know, it's how do you bring that style to, you know, managing a bigger team? And, you know, what's important to me as a leader, one of the things was that I wanted it to be an inclusive team where everybody felt like they had a value. And I wanted people to feel that I wanted them to succeed, or that their manager wanted them to succeed. And for me, it's important. It has an impact for me, and I feel that way genuinely to the people in my team. And so, you know, when you figure out what's important to you as a leader, and you're, I guess, honest with yourself, and you stick to those values that you care about, it helps guide you in your objectives and priorities for the kind of culture that you want to create in your team.
So you get that feedback that there's a need for growth, and you say, this is what we're going to focus on. Take me step by step. What did you do? How did you go about focusing on that and creating that culture?
We're lucky. We have great support in our organization. So we have access to the tools or the support that we need. So our HR partner, we call them our business partner, helped us in kind of drafting out a plan in how we can achieve that. And who can help us doing that? Because this is, again, this is not something that we felt that we needed external support to really help us and keep us honest and accountable in moving the process forward and focusing on the right things. And also to have an external view of somebody that's not in the team, that's looking at it also with fresh eyes from the outside, and that can be more of a neutral moderator and bring a different perspective, because it's a pretty stable team, and we've been working together for a long time. So, and that's when we started working with you. And so then working with you and your team, it's been an exercise over many months that we've been doing, and we've spent a lot of time on it. So it was clearly a focus. It was in the leadership team's objectives to really focus on this thing as well. And I think that making a shift like that and changing a little bit the focus of the culture takes time, and it's helpful to have access to that support, I think.
One of the keys in creating that growth culture was to shift from being, and we started to talk about it, from being the expert leader to a more of a leader coach. Tell us perhaps what were some of the challenges in creating that shift, and what did you see in terms of the behaviors, new conversations, or the impact of it, if you will?
So I think what was important from the beginning was to set this as a common goal or objective for the leadership team of the department. Because as much as I want to do this, I can't do this on my own. I think it needs to be a team effort. And so aligning as a leadership team on this was kind of the first step that was important. And I think that we were aligned in the ultimate objective, but it's not easy. And it's a process, and it takes time. And but having alignment and clarity on the objective and always bringing it back to that, I think helps, because sometimes you can have long discussions on the topic. People spiral sometimes, and we get, you know, we go into a tangent. And so you have to bring it back to the objective and our goal. And so starting with the leadership team and then trickling it down to all the leaders and providing the team with the support, because as we said, it's not necessarily a natural thing, right? People are have different, I mean, obviously we have a lot of lawyers on the team, but we have also other kind of people that fulfill different roles. And so you have to bring the whole team into that, so that, you know, you have the impact that you want by, you know, each manager with each employee changing the way that they're doing things and taking the time and not seeing this as, you know, there's no deadline with this kind of topic, right? So there's always something more pressing and more urgent. So you really have to make it a priority and make it a focus, but it's also about giving the tools and the training to accompany people, managers, to be better at it, because it's not necessarily instinctive. And that's, I think that's totally normal. And so when you do it as a team also, you can support each other. You sometimes take one step forward, two steps back, and, you know, it's not necessarily a linear journey. But I think that having the discussions, developing the muscles together has helped. And I think it's increased each of our own self-awareness and has created much more open discussions and constant discussions about, and it's become more natural slowly but surely to have those discussions with the members of the team.
Setting goals and objective is so important. And Melanie is right when she mentions that people on a team can talk in circles sometimes. And in my work with Melanie, what I really appreciated was that she's so genuine about empowering employees. She walks the talk and it really gives her added credibility. It's a pivotal moment for any team to give itself room for growth.
And that for me is really a pivotal moment for any team, especially expert teams, because expert teams, I think, are expecting of themselves to have all the answers and to be perfect, if ever that exists. We know it doesn't, but there's kind of that aim of wanting to be perfect. And so that leaves very little room for improvement. It leaves very little room for growth, to your point. And so when you start being able to give each other feedback, to ask for feedback, to give permission for not having all the answers, that's when, wow, everything is possible then, because then we can grow.
And I think it's also realizing that this is not something that's done in a vacuum, right? It's completely linked to you being an expert and you being better at your job. And as a result, us being better as a team. It just brings the team to another level. So once you see it as, if I understand your aspirations better, and I am more frank and open with you about the feedback, and it's constant. And we talk about it also when you link it to the development plans and things that, you know, you link it to the aspirations and to what people want to develop, it's easier to give feedback also. And it really gives a focus. And I think it makes the conversations also a bit less awkward sometimes, because I think that's why it's so difficult to give feedback. It's not always comfortable. But the more you do it, the better you become at it, but also the better you become at receiving it. So I think you link it directly to the expert side, as you say, of, okay, but if I'm focusing on what do you want to do and what's your development and how we get you there, it to me, it's linked back to a bit to that core aspect of the work, which is more business. And then you help people grow, you help them move forward in their career. And I think they're more engaged also. And the whole team becomes a better team. So I think it's good for everyone.
And that was a really important element for you when you started, because you wanted this to support the business in a way, to support development of people, but in ultimately to be able to say, this is supporting the business. So it might seem like a more softy topic, but in fact, what you're saying is, wait a minute, perhaps that's actually a very tangible way to drive the business.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's a leverage and it's a tool to get to be the best in our role, and how can we best support the business objectives? Because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. That's why we're here. So how are we the best at this? How can we best support the business? And to do that, you know, what do we need to do as individuals and as a team to get there, to be even better at what we do? Because things also keep evolving. So how do we stay up with the developments and the new needs? And, you know, the world has changed a lot in the last 13 months. So you have to be quick on your feet and change. So how do we make sure that we have the best people to fulfill that? I think there's definitely a link between the two.
So you've already talked about providing feedback as part of more of a leader coach approach. What other changes have you seen in terms of the competencies and the abilities of your leaders or yourself to be more in that posture of leader coach?
I think that we listen more. We are more open, or I think we are. We probably thought we were open before, but I think we're more open now, or more conscious. It's more of a conscious effort or a conscious thing. So to be able to listen, to be open, and also I think that having those discussions allowed us also to understand that you can't project yourself or assume that you know what people want, because not everybody wants the same thing. And when you start having those discussions, I think you're like, sometimes you're like, oh, wow, okay, yes, okay, well, if you want that, or you, and some people, you have to calibrate your style too, I think, that to different individuals. But there's some people that are more vocal and others that are more quiet. And if you don't have those discussions, you might presume something that's not there. So I think it's given us more visibility as to what the individuals in the team wanted or aspired to, and how we could help get them there. And there's been, you know, instances where it's like, oh, really? Oh, you're interested in that? Would never have thought. And okay, well, maybe we can, you know, involve you in this and that, where you wouldn't necessarily have thought of that person as a, you know, as a first thought if you hadn't had those discussions. So I think we're generally more open and are listening more and are having more and more of those discussions. But obviously this is not a check the box exercise, right? It's something that you need to continue.
But what I'm hearing through what you're saying, Melanie, is that perhaps it gives you more permission to be creative, even though you might not have a specific role to give to someone, maybe not a specific promotion per se, but you're more able to be creative in how do we grow someone? How do we allow them to develop regardless of if we have a specific promotion or not? Is that...
Yeah, and to that point, growth is not necessarily promotion for everyone. It can be about learning new things. It can be about changing roles. It can be about, you know, trying new things. It can be about doing things that are completely unrelated to the core business. So if you don't have those discussions, you don't necessarily know. But you're absolutely right on the creativity point. I think that it forced us to think, oh, this person, let's say, has these strengths and they want to do this. How can we meet that need? Or what could we do? And then it kind of forces you to think of different ways. And doing that exercise has also sometimes it makes you think of, oh, actually, it makes you reflect on the way that you do things. And sometimes you do things because that's how you've been doing things, but there's other ways of doing it. And so it's kind of been enlightening in certain situations, because yeah, we had to create opportunity. And sometimes you can't, you want to, but you know, you can't, you only can have the opportunities that you can, but if you don't try, then definitely that won't happen. So at least there's that effort or thought that's been put into it.
My passion, and I often say my obsession, is to support organizations to empower their teams. I've created a movement around it, your Empower Your Team movement. And what I really like about the conversation and the work that we've done with Melanie is that she's so pragmatic about the changes she wanted to foster at PSP. We've had that conversation around how do we implement that globally at PSP, and even bigger than that, how do we implement that globally in the world? How do we make sure that organizations actually empower their teams so that decisions can be made at the right level by the right person at the right timing? That is my mission, to empower people so that they're engaged and they can innovate.
As you know, this conversation we're having is part of a more global conversation on how do we support organizations empowering their team so that ultimately the right decisions are being made at the right level by the right people at the right time. And having more complex decisions go at, you know, your executive team, but decisions that can be done within the operations being done by those people. How do we have those conversations at a global level, or at least at your executive team level? How do we make sure that we as an organization empower our people?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's probably different ways of doing it. And maybe also it depends from organizations. But for us, it was a question of maybe a more of a bottom-up exercise. I mean, there's lots of HR programs and, you know, we have a great support, as I said, on that level. But it was more like this was the need specific to our team. And so that's how we started. And I think that you have to start somewhere. It allowed us to also tailor this to us. And then I think it's having those discussions and seeing the impact, hopefully, that, you know, it starts somewhere and then somebody else sees the impact of that. And then it hopefully it snowballs. And it's talking about it. As you said earlier, it's sometimes viewed more as like fluff, or, you know, it's not the core business. And the more you talk about it, the more it demystifies it. But I think that also you have to show that it has an impact. Otherwise, people won't buy into it. So hopefully when you can show results or impact, it makes the conversation more easy to have.
And so what's next for your team in terms of bringing your team further in the growth environment?
I think it's continuing what we started and not, as I said, not considering that, okay, that's done, what's next? I think that this is just something that has to become, run the business. I think it just has to be part of how we operate. And so it's continuing that, and to make sure that it's really ingrained in how we do things. I think we have to continue focusing on it, talking about it, and holding our managers accountable, so that, you know, you are having the discussions with your employee that's also a manager, and making sure that they're also doing that. And so I think that for the time being, we're going to continue focusing on this and see where we go from there.
Melanie, I want to say thank you so much for just being so genuine, having your heart in the right place, wanting to do good for your peeps, wanting to support your leaders as well, to give them the tools, as you said, and the resources to be able to show up as a leader coach. Quick question before we leave. Three quick questions that I ask everybody. What's been your biggest challenge throughout your career as a leader? What did you do to overcome that? And who did you become in the pursuit of that?
I mean, there's been many challenges, but probably one of the big challenges, I think, for me was stepping into this role, as I said earlier, and going from managing a small team to managing a big team while being abroad. So my whole team was in North America, and I was in Europe. So doing that transition in a team where they were all my colleagues, and I felt like responsible. Now I was responsible for all, you know, all these people, and I wanted to make sure that they were all okay, but also putting your stamp on it and, you know, staying myself with my style and my approach, and, you know, being true to myself. And because my style is very different than my predecessor. And so it's kind of putting your stamp on it. And what do you want from, what do you want to accomplish with this role? What do you want it to be? I got support also for that. I had a coach in London that's been very helpful in kind of helping me, I guess, putting my thoughts in a more rational way, maybe, or organized way, and the team and my colleagues. And, you know, so I think it's, you know, we don't always have all the answers. It's okay to ask for help and support, is my view. And I think that's usually helpful and a good learning opportunity. I think we always learn from each other. And I think for me, it made me clearer about my objectives and my priorities and who I wanted to be as a leader. And once you've defined that, I find that it really facilitates how you deal with things and how you deal with tricky situations and how you make your decisions, because then you know where you're going or what you stand for, and you try to remind yourself of that and operate within that scope.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you. I wish you the best of luck for the fall. I know this will be a pretty challenging environment, not only for PSP, but for all organizations. So I wish you that the tools that you've gained will be put in good use during that hybrid comeback. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you. And thanks for your help.
Melanie Bernier. For more information about PSP, visit investpsp.com or follow the organization on Twitter and LinkedIn. If this episode of Confessions of Leaders inspired you, please consider posting a positive review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow O2 Coaching on LinkedIn and Facebook. Learn about how we can empower your team at o2coaching.ca. And every week, join me on my LinkedIn page for stories about leadership. My name is Chloé Caron, and until then, I invite you to be inspiring and to be inspired.